level, you're on the wrong battlefield. Sometimes we use carnal or fleshly weapons to fight a spiritual battle, and God did not intend for you to fight those there. In fact, the fleshly weapons, here's several of them: manipulation, intimidation, guilt tripping, shaming, blaming, anger, wrath. Man, we use those, and that's our weapon. We scream and yell at someone or try to manipulate them, and that's the wrong weapon. You got the right war. You got the right battle. You have the right God, but you're not using the authority of the believers. Man, and when it comes to this thing of spiritual warfare, be sober, be vigilant for your adversary, the devil. I know it don't look like it, but I like to play basketball. And the problem with basketball, being a taller guy, is the smaller guys try to steal that ball. Now, in Oregon, our youth pastor's name is T.J. Gardner. He's from Michigan, and he's 4 foot something. No, he's 5'7", 5'8", but man, could he run. Man, he'll run around you, and he'll steal that ball. And yeah, there's a man named Alvarado, and that's what he was known for the first 2 years, and then everyone figured it out. You get down the ball, and he's going to come after you. But we have to be vigilant. We have to be watching. The Bible talks there in Ephesians chapter 6. If you're still there, look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We have to know our enemy. We have three enemies in this world: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let's say that together. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Say it again. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We're fighting. You woke up this morning and Satan put things in your mind. There was a spiritual battle that was happening. Coming to church, getting here. The driver's on the loop. Man, there's spiritual battles everywhere. And, hey, the Lord moves in mysterious ways, but you don't have to. Use your blinker, missus, and praise the Lord for that, you know. When it comes to this, though, the spiritual warfare that I'm talking about, the Bible says they're against principalities. I believe there's territories all over this whole world that there are territories that princes rule over. It's amazing what money and what power will do to people. But there's principalities, and it says there's powers. Well, you talk about this Epstein list and all the wickedness that goes on with people that got money and power. And we don't even know the half of it, of the wickedness that's happening among the rulers all over this world. And then the third one there, it says the rulers of the darkness of this world. Well, you think about the cartels. The sex traffickers. There are over 750,000 men and women online that are predators every single day. At least 750,000 trying to reach and steal and kill and kidnap. There is a world of demonic activity we don't talk about. This ain't popular in churches, but I'm telling you, Satan's popular in some churches, and we got to learn to fight him. We're going to win the war. But boy, we want to win some battles as well. Daniel, do you mind? There's someone just came in. Thank you, brother. See if they want one. I would appreciate that. The last one is spiritual wickedness in high places. The occults, the upper occults. I just know that you cannot defeat a full-time devil being a part-time Christian. We have to get serious about this thing. I joined the Navy in 1997. Didn't go to war. It was peacetime and everything. But we raised our hand that we would go to war. And you want to have peace, you gotta be willing to fight. The Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ." Tonight we're gonna talk about 12 doors that we ought to close, and these doors are gonna open in demonic and unclean spirits. Well, if you study Scripture on unclean spirits and the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, I just know when you try to do something right for God, Satan's coming after you. Try to have a ministry, and when you try to serve God, and when you make a decision on a Sunday night, or to be a better husband, or a better wife, or to read your Bible, or to live right and pure and holy, I just know Satan comes after you. And you have a new child, Zach, and I know Satan doesn't want you to raise that child up for the Lord, and I know that Satan is coming after your family. He comes after all of us. Here's 12 doors that we ought to close. Number one door we ought to close is generational sins. Generational sins. Exodus 34, verse 7. Brother Ward, do you mind reading that? It's right there on the paper. You mind reading that verse? The next door that opens unclean spirits, demonic activity into our lives is abuse. Physical, mental, verbal, emotional, sexual abuse. Think about it. Jesus, that happened to Jesus, all of those. They screamed at him. They yelled at him. They physically crucified him. Sexual abuse, how did they abuse Jesus sexually? They put him on the cross without any clothes on, and his mom was there. I'm just telling you, this world is a wicked place. And sometimes abuse comes into our life. There's gentle parenting. A lot of parents are doing it now. Okay, Bubba. Gentle parenting doesn't work. My mom was a good parent. My mom handled correction well, but my dad did not. When my dad passed away, my mom had a restraining order against my dad because he was beating us with Reebok. That's abusive parenting. In the middle is what's called biblical parenting. Okay? You follow the word of God. You forgive. And you teach that. But sometimes in our lives, we've got to just shut that door on abuse in our lives. And someone hurts you or you hurt someone. You might be here today and you've caused abuse in your life. A lot of men I know that grow up and they want to be a good husband, but they know how to provide, but they don't have to spiritually and emotionally and verbally be in a relationship right. I've learned the hard way in some areas and I've watched and seen. I just know this. You take pride on the occasion and you're the abuser. You say, God, I need to close that. Man, that's a blessing the day you do that. Number three, the third door that we ought to close is door of sensual sins. Daniel, you mind reading that verse right there? Lasciviousness. Lasciviousness. It's okay. Galatians 5, and he said, that which cometh out of man, that defileth a man, for from without, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. Man, there's just, the list is long. The list is long. America has a problem with sensual sins. They have a problem with men liking men and women liking women and bestialities out there and rapings out there and child pornographies out there. There's a lot of sensual sins that is a door that I believe opens to satanic activity and evil spirits in our life and helps us walk in the spirit. We have to know our enemy. We have to know where. I don't want to be at Number four, the door of occult practices. Occult, O-C-C-U-L-T, occult practices. There shall be none found among you, anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all those that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God shall drive them out before thee. Let me hit you with another list. Horoscopes, Ouija boards, fortune telling, tarot cards, psychics, seances, levitation, palm reading, Dungeons and Dragons, Harry Potter, yogi cards, Bloody Mary, spiritism, demonic origin. Harry Potter, you preach on Harry Potter? Let me say this. You can agree with that, or you don't have to agree with it. Take it. You can like it, love it, bump it, rub it. Let me say this. The spells on Harry Potter, you look at the Book of Satan, that's where the spells came from. You just have to know. I'm not telling you to take something out of your life. I'm asking you to consider these doors that we open up in our life. Go and study it. Now, there's some people that take it to the extreme and a lot of different things. I'm not here to preach against Harry Potter. I'm here to say that I just know that Satan's got big plans and small sins, and he'll let anything to get through that little iPad to your kid's life to open up doors into your home. But you check those spells, or maybe not. I don't even want to check them. I don't even want to Google that. You stay away from that stuff. You can do what you want. I just know, man, Satan, man, he moves and works. And sometimes all these occult, hey, I'm not got a Ouija board. I'm not praying to some demon. But sometimes we let things in. Halloween, I love harvest time, but man, I'm going to tell you, I know preachers that are way against it. I'm for candy, I'm for Dennis, but I'm against satanic activity. And you got to be very careful with your family. Number next, five, movies and video games. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, is it right there? I put Psalm 101 here. The Bible says, mine eye affected my heart because of the daughters of mine iniquity. Brother Colin, do you mind reading a verse to us? Would you mind that? Lamentations 3:51. Would you mind finding that? I do? Oh, yeah. Mine eye affected my heart. Okay, so I read that wrong, or I wrote it wrong. Mine eye affected my heart because of the daughters of my city. Did you know that our children and our teenagers see almost 30,000 deaths just in their first couple of years of being a toddler and being a young adult and a teenager? They see it on the screen. Mine eye affected my heart. I'm not against movies. I'm against movies that, man, watch movies. I told the guys in the prison, I said, man, Jimmy John's is a great sandwich, man. You're in the dark. Can you imagine me getting you a 12-inch cut in half, got the hot peppers next to mayo, and I'm going to wrap it up, and I'm going to put it in the sewer. You got to go 6 feet down. How y'all would go after that? Now, in prison, they might. If it's wrapped good, right? But why do we have to go through the garbage? You ever sit there, and you're watching a movie, and here comes the cuss word. Here comes the cuss word. You're doing the movie, but you're watching a show, and then inevitably, they got to come out with another dude. And it's just like, I'm telling you, movies and video games. This Sunday morning I was speaking on this, and a lady came forward and said, "I play too much video games." She gave up a lot of her video games. She said, "I need to do ministry, not just watching video games all the time." And I don't know about you, the online stuff and all the cussing and even the pornography that comes through that. Man, all I'm trying to do tonight is get you to understand and get you to, in your mind, to cultivate this. Hey, we're at war. We're at war. Sometimes we're just sitting in the barracks, twiddling our thumbs, and Satan's like, "Oh, I got him. Oh, I got him." But movies, and make sure your movies are Christ-honoring. And if it doesn't honor Christ, don't do it. Don't watch it. Had my son look at me about 2 years ago. He said, "Dad, why are there shows you watch and we can't watch?" Colin, you have them in that class. They ask some tough questions, don't they? Look Let me give you some stats on pornography. They say 75% of men in churches are watching pornography. Up to 30% of women are. The average age of watching pornography, first exposure, 11 years old. One out of every four girls, 12 to 15 years old, 25% of them have watched pornography. 50% of boys, 12 to 15, 50% of them have been looking at pornography. Children aged 11 to 16, 90% of them have viewed pornography. 15 to 17 year olds, 80% of them are involved in hardcore exposure. So not just watching it. There's an estimated, I said earlier, 750,000 child predators in a given moment on the internet seeking whom they may devour. Over 200 child images daily are uploaded. That's 73,000 a year. There's over 450 million porn websites. We have pastors without power. We have Christians that are being defeated. And sometimes it's because of what we let into our eye gate and our ear gate. And boy, we got to fight. And we're, praise God for what he's doing. Number next, drugs and alcohol. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue into the night till wine inflame them. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath caused wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup. The problem with those that are believers or those that want to justify social drinking is that the Bible says not even to look at it. Have you ever drank something you didn't look at? And if you did, who's your dry cleaner? Right? You probably spill something. But why? Drugs and alcohol. I would say probably, and I don't know your life. I'm pretty sure that the people here on a Thursday night are not mixed up in drugs and alcohol. But I do know this. You've got family members that have that. And it dissolves. My mama taught me to hate it young. Yeah, I know when I was a kid. She taught me to hate it. I've never tasted alcohol. Never tasted wine. Praise God for that. I had a candy cigarette a couple times, and that was about it. Close the door of, flipping the page here. We're closing the door of traumatic experiences. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. God is a refuge and a strength, a very present help in times of need. Traumatic experiences include divorce, car accidents, death, abortion, abandonment, church issues, child issues. You might be here today in a group this size. There's probably someone here that's been through some trauma in their life. We were at that game, and Ezra got hit by that baseball bat, and blood was gushing out, and little Hannah was sitting there, and she's just crying. She just watched her brother, who she thought was going to die, with blood coming out of her face. That's trauma. Trauma happens every day. Trauma is accidental. Trauma
traumas on purpose. Car accidents, divorce. Been through some trauma. They couldn't find my dad, and they found his boat. He drowned and found his body 5 months later. Trauma. You deal without a dad and deal with someone dying in your life, and those 5 months, we didn't know if he left. We didn't know the cause. We wanted an answer. We wanted closure. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Well, Jeremiah had not been through trauma yet.
Well, you're probably not at all. I'm lonely, boy. You've been through some stuff.
You might be going through some this year. And God says he's denying to them what they're talking about. But some of us need today to close that door of trauma, to quit letting the trauma in our lives dictate our victory in Christ. You ever meet someone that could never get over that trauma and it's been 20 years old? 20 years ago? I know a man who ran over his 5-year-old son, killed him. I know a friend whose brother got ran over as a teenager. I know a man who ran over on a tractor in the state of Oregon. Good man, went to Bible college, ran over his son and killed him on the tractor. His son fell off. Man, time heals all wounds. It doesn't. Sometimes it takes a lot of time, but I know some people that bring it up every other sentence. Satan's going to use anything in our lives to defeat us. Like I said earlier, he's powerful. God's more powerful. You have the authority, and you give him that authority. You have to stay true. Arrest your thoughts. Come on.
Get you some handcuffs. Spiritual ones. Number next. We're going to talk about the next one here is the doors of music. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And it came to pass when the evil spirit of God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him.
Music is very powerful. The boys that went into Columbine there in Colorado, one of the major common denominators in school shootings is antidepressant medication and music. The music that they pump, the death metal, I used to listen to the power of air. I'm telling you, that stuff, that'll mess and work with your mind. Music. When it comes to music, there's God's music. Leaning on the everlasting on. Don't look at me and tell me that's bad music. And REM and Nirvana and Beastie Boys, all that stuff I used to listen to, and I know it's the devil's music, and there's a lot of music in the middle. I don't listen to music in the middle. Why? Because it's too close to that. I'm trying to stay away from that. You know? We're over here, power in the blood. There is pow, 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 pow. We did 8 powers in prison about a month ago. Pow, 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 power. One working power in the blood. Woo, woo, of the lamp, man. God's music is the best music. Sometimes we let open unclean spirits with the music we listen to. Because it says it's Christian doesn't make it Christian. I would just suggest to you, I'm fighting the devil. Just know that your music, if you like worldly music and listen to worldly music, I would ask yourself the question, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, is this what God wants me to listen to? Is it uplifting to God? Does it draw me closer to Him? Or if it sounds like the world, why am I listening to it? We naturally like a fleshly, sensual beat. We like it. It sounds good. It feels good. It doesn't mean it's good. Say, man, it can work through music in your life.
And sometimes we need to close those doors on wrong music in our life. Number next, secrets. James 5, the Bible says, what does that verse say? Who can read that? Zach, are you there? I'm trying to find where we are.
It's talking about confessing your faults. We confess our sins to who? To God. We confess our faults to who? One another. I have a sermon on that, the difference between a sin and a fault. We're not Catholic. We don't praise, we go right to God, but God does say, have men and women in your life that you can be restored. from the church, the pillar and ground of the truth that he created to help you. Women, there aren't any women in this church, and you can go to them and say, you know what, I'm struggling with this right now. Can you pray for me and they'll help you? Amen? It ought to be the same. Pastor, we were knocking doors just before church, and there's the thing. It said gather. And I remember Pastor's sermon. It ain't gather. It's assemble. I was thinking, if we come to church, and do you ever feel like, sometimes I feel like this with the men. Hi, how you doing? How's your weekend? I feel like I want more. I know, sometimes that's how I feel. It's just like, because I know I need good fellowship. And if I need good fellowship, you might need it too. So then you want some bass fishing or pickleball or disc golf, let me know.
Yeah, we do it all at the same time. And, no. It's pretty interesting there. Secrets. Number 10, acts of rebellion. The Bible says, for rebellion is as the sin of what?
Witchcraft. Let's say that again, Miss Denver. Rebellion is as the sin of what? Witchcraft. Rebellion. There's a young boy, a 17-year-old in Potosi, Missouri. True story. He came home from work. He had paid for his truck. He got out of school, went to work, came home, and he's having dinner with his dad. And his dad said, hey, we got 2 hours of daylight. We're going to go. We're going to pull this field into the pay. He'd already made a decision in his mind that he was going to go to Dairy Queen with his buddies. He said, Dad, I can't tonight. His dad looked at him and he said, no, we're bringing that in. And I need it. As soon as he was done, he washed his hands. He grabbed those keys and he kind of hurried out the back door. His dad knew and ran out the front door. Ran all the way to the truck. He stood in between him. The guy opened the door and he landed in and he stood there.
Almost done. We're almost to third base. We're going home and we're sliding, folks. And secrets, rebellion. Number 11, the doors of humanistic teaching. Humanistic teaching. Humanistic teaching. Brethren, lest any man spoil you through the philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. This next verse we're going to read in James is going to tell you exactly what the wisdom of this world offers us. James 3. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. Humanistic teaching.
You know, it's creeping into churches. Pastors and leaders that are not filled with the Spirit of God because they're in defeat. And they're bringing in this philosophy of ministry when it's, God says, go win, baptize, teach. Oh, let's do it. This program. No. Just obey God. Go, win, baptize, teach. As a missionary of our church here, I want to thank you for supporting us. I want to thank you for when you give to missions, that's part of your going.
And you give to ministries that around the world that feed orphans and get the gospel out that Brother Ward's a part of. Man, that's part of what God created us to do. And humanistic thinking says, oh, let's do this to attract people. And God says, no. You're not trying to attract people. You're trying to please me, what pleases God. Not humanistic people. Evil, selfish, sensual, and devilish. Man, ain't got time for that. We need to remix it. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. I don't got time in this world to be doing what God not to do what God wants me to do. I gotta do it. I gotta fight.
We gotta learn. We gotta grow. We gotta close doors.
Humanistic thinking. And lastly tonight, the doors of unhealthy soul ties. Soul, S-O-U-L, ties, T-I-E-S. Soul ties. The Bible says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, so it hits them both, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, let's read this last line there together. Church, begin. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in it.
The world crucified Christ. We
want to
be friends.
Amen.
I'm going to
reach them, but they're not going to be my friend. I'm not